Welcome to Swimming and How It's Misunderstood. I'm Carter McNutt, and this episode of the podcast is called The Basics. We will cover the basics of swimming as a sport, the dedication it requires, as well as the basics of how it's misunderstood. But before we get into the podcast, a word from our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Ultra Plush Toilet Paper. Have you ever wondered what really soft and affordable toilet paper feels like? Well, wonder no more. Ultra Plush Toilet Paper is both super soft as well as affordable. Did you know that Ultra Plush is also the most affordable toilet paper in comparison to other top toilet paper brands, averaging $5 less? Ultra Plush has been around for almost 2 decades and is constantly working to bring customers lower prices and higher expectations. So thank you to Ultra Plush Toilet Paper for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Our next sponsor is Adidas. Their new trail running line is made for the most extreme of adventures, but can also be used for just everyday life. Do you ever want to go out in public in something that is super comfortable but also looks nice? Well, with the Adidas trail running line, their top-of-the-line shorts are perfect for either an exhilarating adventure or a business meeting. So thank you to Adidas for sponsoring this episode of Swimming and How It Is Misunderstood. So now, after that word from our sponsors, we can talk about the actual topic of this podcast. So the first topic in our podcast is the basics of swimming. Swimming, as a sport, is not very well known as far as the logistics. So in the U.S., there are a total of 404 registered competitive swimmers. Now nearly all of these swimmers are registered through a swim club, which gives them someone to train with daily, as well as a community of other swimmers. Another interesting fact about the training side of swimming is that the average amount of hours a swimmer practices in a week is somewhere between 14 and 16 hours. Mine, personally, is 16 hours a week. There's also the aspect of what swimmers train for, and that is competitions or meets. There are a multitude of different types and lengths of races that are competed in meets. The longest race a swimmer can compete in takes 20 minutes, and the shortest race is about 23 seconds. So basically, swimming can mean multiple different things inside of the one sport. For example, if one swimmer calls himself a distance swimmer, they train differently and compete differently from a swimmer who calls themselves a sprint swimmer. One other thing that a lot of competitive swimmers also compete in is a high school team. This commitment comes with an extra 4 to 6 hours a week, including high school swim meets and practices. Depending on the level of the swimmer, time in their competition team may or may not adjust to the additional high school swimming hours. So these are the basic logistics of swimming. And in the next part of this episode of Swimming and How It Is Misunderstood, we will get into the physical logistics of the sport. Welcome back to Swimming and How It's Misunderstood. We are now going to discuss the physical part of swimming. So the physical basics of swimming, for the most part, are simple. There are 4 different strokes that make up the sport that most people know. There's freestyle, butterfly, backstroke, and breaststroke. The strokes widely differ in how they are swam and also how they look. Butterfly looks very awkward in the beginning stages of a swimmer's career, but eventually looks more and more smooth with a lot of practice. Backstroke is different than the other strokes, only because it is the only stroke that is swam face up, as well as the only stroke that the swimmer is able to breathe the whole time. Breaststroke is the slowest of the strokes and requires the most technique, but looks very smooth and powerful with the right amount of practice. And finally, freestyle is the stroke that most people think of when they first think of swimming and requires the least technique to go fast. One other thing that is so crucial to the success of the swimmer is turns. Turns are what a swimmer must do to obviously and basically turn around and go the other way, or back down the pool. But before we talk about turns, we must discuss streamline. Some of you may know what a streamline is, but basically it is a hydrodynamic position that helps the swimmer travel through the water at a faster rate after they complete a turn. Streamlines are not used for anything but the time after the turn, and even though they look simple, they take most competitive swimmers years to master and make them more helpful to a race. So back to turns. There are two types of turns, and what type of turn a swimmer does in a race solely depends on what race it is. So if I was to swim the 200-yard breaststroke, I would do an open turn. This means I would approach the wall. As I approach the wall, I dive down to about 6 inches below the surface and touch the wall with both hands flat. I would then drive my knees to my chest, and then at the same time, I would let go of the wall with one hand and take a breath. I would continue on by resubmerging under the water and then letting go with my other hand so it can join my first hand in the streamlined position. And then I would finish by pushing off the wall. This turn sounds very complicated and lengthy, but once it is mastered, it takes a maximum of 1.5 seconds to complete. The second type of turn is used in freestyle and backstroke swims. It is called a flip turn, and it is what most people think of when they think of a swimming turn. This turn is done in a little less of a complex manner. In your approach to the wall, I would again dive down 6 inches, and then once close enough to the wall, bring my feet over my head in order to complete a front flip, and to bring my wall to the feet fast. Then both hands simultaneously go into the streamlined position and help you be hydrodynamic when you push off the wall. This turn is even faster than the open turn, taking at the slowest 1 second. So both of these turns help swimmers get faster in their races, and with all of the strokes included, a swimmer can not only just swim simple events such as a 100-yard backstroke or a 200 breaststroke. They can also compete in a race called an IM, or an individual medley, which encompasses all 4 strokes. The IM is commonly regarded as one of the hardest types of races in swimming because of the wide diversity of strokes and turns that go into making an IM swim fast. The order of the strokes in the IM is really specific. It must go butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, freestyle. This order forces the swimmer to complete different types of turns at different points in the race. I personally love the IM races, specifically the 400 IM, which is the longest of the variations of the IMs. So this section of the podcast talked about the physical basics of swimming. And next, we will discuss some of the misunderstandings that are commoners with foreigners to the sport. Welcome back to Swimming and How It Is Misunderstood. In this section of the episode, we are going to talk about the common misunderstandings that come along with swimming. So how is swimming misunderstood? The sport itself is not overly complex, but yet a lot of people misunderstand certain things about the sport. The most common misunderstanding that I have personally been affected by is the confusion between swim lessons and swim practices. Now, this may seem unrealistic to some people with previous knowledge of swimming, but to complete foreigners to the sport, they often confuse the two. One of the main differences between the two forms of swimming is very large. Swim lessons are with an instructor who teaches you how to swim, versus swim practice, which is with a coach who trains you in your swimming abilities. This misunderstanding affects me pretty often. I have people ask me what sport I do, and when I tell them, they often misunderstand me and think that I am still learning how to swim. The other difference in the two forms is quite obviously the dedication. Most swim lessons are once or twice a week, not 11 to 13 practices, like swim practices. One other misunderstanding is the difference between high school swim and club swim. The difference in the amount of commitment is very different. High school swim lasted for about 3 months in the springtime, and as mentioned earlier, it requires much less commitment. On the other hand, club swimming is year-round, with the only break from training all year being for 3 weeks in August. This misunderstanding also may sound unrealistic because every other sport has a high school and a club season, but for some reason, people don't assume the same about swimming, and I often surprise people when I tell them I swim year-round. The last misunderstanding we will discuss in this episode is another basic one. It often happens that I will be speaking to people who don't know much about swim, and when they ask how much I train, they're surprised at the answer. This misunderstanding ties into the mistake of assuming I am in swim lessons because people are usually too polite to ask if I'm still learning how to swim, or they understand that I'm a competitive swimmer but didn't previously realize how much I trained. So when I tell them I train for about 16 hours a week, they are caught up in the misunderstanding of how much swimmers train. That will be all for the first episode of Swimming and How It Is Misunderstood. Make sure to tune in for our next episode, in which we will discuss the logistics of taper and how swimming taper differs from that of other sports. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.